Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Pharrell with Mafia and Carver High. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. There is no better time than right now to be a member of PharrellOnTheBench.com. You get every pick, every play, every day, everything that's on the board. All the NCAA games, NBA, NHL, boxing, MMA, everything. You get every pick in an email format sent to you every day. Ranked picks, favorite to least. You're going to love it. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. Hide the money from your wife. Also, my sports betting podcast comes out every morning, Tuesday to Sunday, 6:30 Eastern on iTunes, Google Play, anywhere good podcasts are available, and WestwoodOnePodcast.com. Tomorrow, episode 178. Subscribe free. Free as me. And subscribe free, and then you can follow us on Twitter at OnTheBets, WWO. That's OnTheBets, WWO. Don't forget Carver High's hockey podcast, ILC podcast, new episode out right now.
Yes, came out today.
Very exciting. Your boy Jay No Fights Berman is on there.
Yeah, he stopped in for a couple minutes. I like to, every couple months, just kind of, you know, check his pulse with where he's at with the Isles.
As he tries to wussify your team.
Well, I mean, he's not. That's just not my team. It's the entire NHL. He's trying to do that.
Just wants to ruin the league.
He's like that with every sport. He doesn't want any kind of violence.
Wants to ruin all the sports.
Right.
What about the hooligan that came out of the crowd and punched the soccer guy in the head at the Champions League?
Right.
Did you see that guy come out and attack the player?
I did see that.
He got some jail time.
A couple weeks.
That'll teach him. 855-212-4227 to get on the bench. CBS Sports Radio, toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Amos in Tennessee, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Mr. Pharrell, how you doing, sir?
What's happening, bud?
Man, I think the last time I talked to you, I was bragging on the SoCon conference tournament, and I was bragging on Wofford. And I got to keep bragging on him. I mean, what a performance. I mean, I'm looking at the stat line. These guys went Cameron Jackson, 5-for-8. Keve Lume, 1-for-2. Fletcher McGee, 7-for-14. Nathan Hoover, these guys shot unbelievable percentages from the floor. These guys can score. And Kentucky better clamp down because, I mean, if you give these guys any room, they're going to score.
And, yeah, I don't think, I'll be honest with you, I think that's, they deserve a lot of credit. It was a nice win, but I'll be honest with you. I thought Seton Hall played terrible defensively in the last 10 minutes of that game. They were winning the game. They took the lead. They were down 10 at the half. They took the lead at least two or three times they had the lead. And then they just never stopped Wofford from shooting threes and making them. They didn't guard them. They fell for every head fake. They jumped up and got burned on every head fake. And then they got fouls. They just kept fouling them. And I thought Wofford handled their business. I do not believe, and I, you know, Carver High, Mafia, tell me if I'm wrong. I don't believe that Kentucky will do the exact same defensive failures that Seton Hall showed me. There was 1 minute left in the game. They were down one. They got blown out. They quit. And I don't see John Calipari's team doing that. I'll be honest with you. I thought, I hate to say it because that's Mafia's team and everything, but they literally quit. They were down one.
No, the last couple of minutes were definitely ugly for them, especially from that. They had a 9-0 run in a 1 minute span that, you know, from down one to down 10.
You don't think for one minute that. That Kentucky's going to play him that way, do you?
Well, look, Kentucky is a, you know,
it's a different animal.
Kentucky's a powerhouse team, okay? They're one of the powerhouse blue bloods of this, you know, of this tournament, and it's going to be tough for Wofford to, well, Wofford, they've been proving people wrong all year, so we'll see.
So I saw Charles Barkley tonight, and I love him, whatever, he's funny, blah, 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 everybody loves him, but he's so funny. Did you hear what he said? He was talking about the Blue Bloods of basketball.
And he said
Ohio State.
No.
When he rattled off all the best college basketball programs in the country, he said Ohio State.
You see, unfortunately.
But he meant Michigan State.
Okay.
So he said Ohio State and Michigan State. Ohio State's a blue blood and nothing in college basketball.
Right. And unfortunately, you know, that's one of those things where bringing Charles in to do the college, and I get why they do it.
He doesn't watch college basketball.
He's one of Turner's biggest, you know, basketball faces, but he does the NBA all year.
Right.
And even sometimes with that, it can get a little outside the box, a little crazy. Bringing him in to
he's
do the
great
college.
He's great on NBA.
He's great.
But not on college.
But him coming in to do the college, he doesn't know the teams. He doesn't know what's going on. And making us, you know, saying things like that, you just kind of let it roll away because it's Charles saying it. He doesn't watch college basketball. I know why they bring him in.
I don't think the Jet watches either. You know what he says? He always tells you how good North Carolina is.
I wonder why he tells you that.
I don't like it. I don't think they should be doing it.
They do it for entertainment value.
I think Charles Seth brings Davis entertainment. And Clark Kellogg.
Those guys live, eat, and breathe college basketball all year.
They should be the ones in there doing it.
Even the guys that they put on the CBS Sports Network, the cable channel, that don't do like these main games, those guys are really good, whether it's
Gary Parrish.
Parrish and Pete Gillen and even John Rothstein and all these guys. Those guys live college basketball. That's all that they do.
Yeah, they're the ones that should be doing it.
Right.
I want college people on that know the game.
But they think that people are going to come in and watch, you know, for the entertainment value of seeing
Charles. Well, so many people are used to ESPN doing it with Billis and with Seth Greenberg and all the college guys, Dick Vitale, whatever. I just think, you know, at what point do they have Raftery doing these games? Is he already doing games or is he doing them tomorrow? Or does he just do them Saturday and Sunday?
I think he's with Nance. Him and Nance and Grant Hill are together. They're tomorrow. They're probably doing wherever Duke is. You know that's where Nance is going to be. So I'll check now and see what region they're doing.
Jesus. All right. Well, there you go. But I like the college guys doing it more than having those pro guys in there. That's all they do is pros. I mean.
Well, they do the same thing in the game when they have Weber doing the college game. Weber doesn't do college all year, and they have him, you know, doing these college games. It just doesn't work.
So and then they have Reggie Miller doing it, too.
They do. Right. I mean, the thing is, since you have that partnership, Turner's going to want some of their people in there. They're never going to say, okay, well, you guys do it all year. But we're going to have you just put your guys on our channels. Now they're going to say, we want our people too. And that's how you get this mishmash.
Well, they bought the rights, so they're going to have all their people, not just some of them. They're going to have all their people. Like Ernie Johnson's hosting the studio show.
Which is okay, because as a host, you could just get the topics, you throw the analysts, it's fine, you get away with that. But when the analysts are, like you said, the guys like Charles and Jet that don't watch the game, it just goes to mess.
1 minute ago, you told me Old Dominion was down 9. Now they're finished.
They were at the 340 mark. They were down 9 with the ball. They're done now? We tried to get it on in here.
They're down 13 right now, and the number was 12.5, and the game's going to end. So if you got him at 13, you covered. If you got him at 12.5, you didn't. So it ended at 13, 61-48 Purdue. Boom. The Michigan game was 74-55. Another blowout. Purdue a blowout. Syracuse lost 78-69. Where's all these Syracuse people tonight in here? Are they all hiding now? Are they done packing it in, glad bagging it, packing up the garbage for the season, putting it away, putting it in the shed out in the backyard? No more Syracuse hype around here at the Hudson headquarters. We don't have to listen to it anymore. The 90% Syracuse grads that work here. Where's all the cheering now in the newsroom? Do you hear anything? Crickets. All I hear is crickets. Anybody smoking cigarettes out there? You know that's happening. Anyway, that's it, right? That's the last ticks. That's the whole day. The slate is over. Now you start worrying about tomorrow. And Iowa and Cincinnati tip it off at 12:15 in Columbus, Ohio. Cincinnati laying 4. Do you think the Hawkeyes will be able to hang with the Bearcats?
I think it'll be a close game. I like Cincinnati to win it, but I think that Iowa can hang in there for a while.
And then at 12:40, Oklahoma and Ole Miss. We talked about that with Brandon Gaudin tonight. He's calling the games on Westwood One. Northern Kentucky and Texas Tech and Tulsa in the West region. First round, that one's at 1:30. I really like that Texas Tech team. A dangerous team, Northern Kentucky, can play with anybody. But they remind me of, does this game not remind you of Purdue and Old Dominion? Texas Tech and Northern Kentucky, is that not like the same thing?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what's going to happen there. It'll beat them by 13.
I mean, obviously, I was higher on Old Dominion tonight, but I think the Texas Tech will roll tomorrow as well.
Irvine and Kansas State in San Jose at 2 Eastern. 11 out there, so breakfast at Tiffany's for that tip-off in San Jose. That's a brunch game for them at 11.
Nance and Raftery are doing the same games that Brandon Gaudin will be doing on the radio. So they have the
TV side.
The Duke, Virginia, VCU, you know, all those games.
So there you go. Colgate in Tennessee at 2:45 Eastern in Columbus in the South region. Virginia, Gardner-Webb, Gaudin's doing that game as well in Columbia. That's at 3:10. 4 o'clock, Arizona State, Buffalo. Buffalo laying 4.5 there in Tulsa in the West region. 4:30, Oregon and Wisconsin in San Jose at the Tank. Washington and Utah State at 6:50 Eastern in Columbus at the Nationwide. That's going to be a hell of a game if you ask me. Those two are dead even. 7 o'clock, 7:10, North Dakota State and Duke in Columbia. That's the one Nance is doing with Raft and Grant Hill. Georgia State in Houston at 7:20 Eastern in Tulsa. Houston at 3, Georgia State the 14. Liberty and Mississippi State the 5:12, Bulldogs 5. That one's in San Jose at 7:27 Eastern. 9:20 Eastern, closer to when we go on. We go on at 10 here on CBS Sports Radio. Prior to that, Iona in North Carolina and Columbus in the Midwest region. 9:40, even closer to when we go on the air. Central Florida and VCU in Columbia. And then you've got Ohio State, Iowa State in Tulsa at 9:50 Eastern. And then the last game of the night at 9:57 Eastern, St. Louis and Vitek will tip it off in San Jose in the East region. So there you have it. Now, I wanted to see, in terms of going on now, believe it or not, there is NBA action going on. Did you see all this? Who do you got? The Warriors game is happening.
They're whacking the Pacers, right?
From what I see, 75-53 and a third. Is that about right?
No, end of the third, 88-62.
Oh, so now it's even further the damage. So there you go. I still don't have that score. You probably have the right score. I'm using CBS, so they're about 11 minutes off. Sorry about that. 88-62 after three. Got to get those scores caught up there. Got to be, you know, on the money. Pistons lead the Suns. 7 left, 104-86 in Phoenix. Kings up 10 on the Mavericks, 4.5 left. Warriors blowing out the Pacers. Hornets beat the T-Wolves. Kemba had 31, 5-6. Nuggets over the Wizards by 5. Jokic, 15, 6-11. Hawks by 3 over the Jazz. Dwayne Dedman, a household name, 18, 9-2 for Atlanta. And Spida, Donovan Mitchell, 34, 4-2 for the Jazz. There you go. And in terms of hockey tonight, believe it or not, there was a bunch of games. The Knights, I'm watching that game, up 5-0, 7 minutes left in Vegas on the Jets. Sharks lead the Kings 2-1 after 2 in L.A. Panthers beat the Coyotes 4-2. Hit it. Bruins 5-1 over the Devils. Hit it. Lightning 6-3 over the Canes and Raleigh. Hit it. Canadians 4-0 over the Islanders. Lost it. Blues 5-2 over the Red Wings. Hit it. Penguins 2-1 in a shootout over the Predators. I lost that, too. I thought the Pred would win that game. Flyers over the Blackhawks 3-1 in Chicago. Avs beat the Stars 3-1 in Dallas. Flames 5-1 over the Senators. Hit that one. Oilers 4-1 over the Blue Jackets in Edmonton. They can't afford any losses. McDavid and Draisaitl had the goals. McDavid's 37th. I don't think Draisaitl had any goals, but I think he had some dimes in that game. 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, I thought Butler had or Baylor had a huge win tonight over Syracuse, 78-69. That was a nice game for the Bears as they finish off Boeheim's team. Jared Butler's a guard with the Baylor Bears. He had a big game, 14 points. 5 boards, 4 dimes, 2 huge steals. He hit 4 threes in the game, and he joins us on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, great game tonight, Jared.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You guys had, you, Mason, and Kegler and McClure all hitting threes. I mean, you guys were bombs away, 47% from downtown. I mean, that made a huge difference.
Yeah, we knew in the game, coming to the game, we had to make big shots, especially in the zone. And, we practiced all week against the zone, and we practiced in shots. So, I'm glad we executed coming out. It was big for us.
But you guys play that zone too, right? Like, so everybody said that you both do it. So did you guys think you executed the zone better than they did tonight?
No, I just think the team that got stopped, I guess you're right. I guess the team that played the better defense won the game. Syracuse hit some big shots during the whole game, and it just had to come down to the stops and getting turnovers and stuff like that. But like you said, it's a phenomenal zone, but we had to make big shots.
I thought you guys, in my view, I'm watching the game, and I thought you guys hit the boards better, and I thought you out-dimed them. I thought you guys moved the ball better than Syracuse in the game and got better looks from those passes. I thought
Right. Your
off-screen ball movement, guys moving around, I thought you did a better job than them.
Right. Coach Drew did a great job of, executing half some plays for us against the zone. And, one of the points of emphasis was, moving the ball and playing with each other. And like you said, we did a great job. And I think that's why we won. We shared and we tried to get each other good shots. So, yeah.
How about you? You go to Waco. Aren't you a kid from, Louisiana? You're a freshman, and you're in your first NCAA tournament game, and you averaged 10 for the season. But how about you going in there with ice water in your veins and having a huge game and hitting 4 bombs?
Oh, man, it's a great feeling. I want to just give all the glory to God. And, Waco's a great place. They got great people, and, I'm enjoying being here, so I love it.
How cool was it playing in your first tournament game? It's a little different than those than those conference tournament games, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely different. There's a lot more weight on every shot and every pass you make. But once you get comfortable and just think like it's another game, it comes better. And it was a great atmosphere. I loved it though. I'm not gonna lie.
So what do you do now? You play on a Saturday. Who do you have to play?
We play Gonzaga.
Oh, Jesus. What could be worse? You got those connections upstairs. You might have to start praying for that three of yours to start falling against the Zags. I think they're going to play the same kind of defense as Syracuse. Not a zone, but better defense.
Yeah.
I think Gonzaga is the best defensive team in the country.
Yeah, they like you said, they're a great team. They're ranked number one for a reason, but they're going to come through it like another game, scout, get their tendencies and, learn their habits. So, we're excited going to this game. It's March, anything can happen.
So, where are you, in Salt Lake right now? Is that where the game was?
Yeah, I'm in Salt Lake right now, yeah.
Are you think you're going to hit the ski slopes tomorrow, Jared? Maybe go out to Alta and go on a couple runs?
I'm not going to celebrate that, but I'm going to get some rest.
Hey, great game tonight, dude. Nice win over Syracuse. Thanks for coming on CBS Sports Radio. Keep filling it up, and congrats on your success down in Waco.
Thanks. No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. There he is. What a game tonight. Jared Butler with the Butler did it, Carver High. 14 points. He hit 4 threes. He had 5 boards, 4 dimes, and a couple steals, getting involved.
Very proud of the Bears tonight.
Very proud.
Very proud.
I got to tell you, let's just let it all out of the bag. Carver High hates Syracuse. Let it out, Carver High.
Yeah, I do. In fact, what I really hated, and the reason, it's not that I really hate them. I hate their fans.
I do too.
I hate a lot of their fans, especially the ones that I had to listen to Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Start telling me and start telling
planning
people
the second round.
They didn't even talk about the Baylor game all I heard for the last 3 days was, well, you know what? Gonzaga's going to have a big problem with our zone. They're not used to playing zones like us. Like, dude, you didn't even play Baylor yet. So why don't you get through that game,
and then
you can worry about the Gonzaga.
Who do you hate more, Mets fans or Syracuse fans? Ranger fans. Who's the worst? Patriot fans.
Well, you got to remember something. The Met fan.
Who do you hate the most?
The Met fan thing is only like.
Here at work.
Unfortunately, there's only like 4 or 5 people that ruin it for everybody else. Like, there's 4 or 5 Met fans that I really can't stand.
Here in the building.
Like, that really get you annoyed with the Mets.
Here at work.
A couple here at work, a couple outside of here, but there's only 4 or 5 Met fans that do that.
Do you want me to get in a fist
Syracuse,
fight with any of them?
Syracuse, it's like everybody who went to Syracuse or has ever had anything to do with Syracuse, they are so snobby about that team. And how many times have they won? Could you tell me again?
All those national championships once.
Once, right?
Once.
Okay. That's all I wanted.
Do you want me to get in a fight with any of those people?
No, we don't have to do that.
Could get in a fist fight for you. Maybe I could go crank JJ or something. What do you think?
Well, JJ's one of, you know, I
like him a lot.
I like him a lot. He's one of my best friends.
Not this time of the season.
But he's part of the.
He's part of it.
He's part of the.
He's in that group.
Gonzaga's going to have a problem with our zone.
Oh, he's in that clique?
Before you even played Baylor.
He's in the clique.
Worried about your, Gonzaga's going to have a problem with our zone.
There you go. So Mafia doesn't bother you with all of his Seton Hall and Mets stuff, does he?
No, I don't. I don't put him in any of those categories.
Well, you don't like the Jets.
Yeah, but there's not that many.
Like, you guys,
Jet fans get annoying.
But we have a lot of games between you two.
Jet fans get annoying when they're winning because they get all hyped up and they can get really.
How long have you been with the show now? About 5 years,
something like that.
And then Mafia, can you stand him at all with his teams that he roots for?
Yeah, I'm fine with him because he's not one of these guys. I mean, the Jets. Bill's thing, like, we're both the redheaded stepchildren of that division. We both get our ass kicked by the Patriots. So it's kind of like we have that camaraderie. It's just when we play each other, we don't like each other.
So
for the week.
Who's the new Loyola Ramblers? Is it Wofford now or is it Murray State? Who's the new team to root for?
I think both of them could be gone on Saturday, so I don't think that's going to be it either.
Whoa.
I think we've got some possibilities.
So Kentucky, Wofford, no chance at all for Wofford.
I don't give them any chance.
And then what was the other one I just told you?
Murray State against Florida State.
Murray State.
I give them a chance to beat
Florida
State. They could absolutely beat Florida State.
I don't think, though. Well, I'll tell you what. I think Murray State can play with anybody.
I think tomorrow is where you could find your Loyola, because I love this Irvine team against Kansas State.
I hope you're not disappointed, because that could be a real crash landing with them, because that's like Fairleigh Dickinson, basically.
No, they're not. They're better than that. They're not a 16.
We'll see.
They could play, all right? They're a live 13. Right, tells you they are.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so 34C, I think, pulled a fast one on me today.
Really?
At Carver High.
That's no good.
So what she did was she lured me in with relations. And then, like, because it was like a, you know, out of nowhere, like, relations, you know, just kind of, hey, you want to? And then I was like, yeah. And then, like, an hour later, I noticed, oh, by the way, you can't play basketball on Saturday. And I was like, why is that? She said, because the young guns got a quadruple header an hour from home, and you're going to have to take them to all 4 games, 9, 10, noon, and 1. So, Carver High, would you, is there a basis there for any kind of litigation where you get the lure of the relations to lure you in, and then in the post-game press conference announce the loss of playing privileges, which are every Saturday of my life, that Saturday morning debriefing is always automatic, but that has been stripped from my life to make me go to this quadruple header for the kid. How do you feel about the lure and the con?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you got to do that, you know? That's clearly she knew what she was setting you up for.
The fall.
And it worked to her advantage.
Mafia, as you know, there's another. She's trying another one with me. You stayed at the Pharrell Palatial. Now we're going to dinner, right? I got to go to this makeup dinner. What do you think? She'll drop any bombs at that for me?
No, I think that's nighttime. That's not going to affect the ball at all.
It's always something. Oh, there's always something. There's some kind of manipulation going on.
You know what? I take that back because I did not realize when I offered her dates that that's the Final Four.
Saturday night of the Final Four.
You and I are going to be sitting at dinner instead of watching the Final Four. So she got me too.
Nice job, idiot. Guess we're going to have to watch on our smartphones that night at dinner because that's what I'll be doing. I'll be sitting there. I'll have that wedged up against that double espresso cup. I'll be wedging it in. A little game action there.
So the difference is I won't get yelled at if I glance at the TV a bunch. You will. In fact, mine today, she was home. She was off today, and I told her, I'm not doing anything. I'm watching basketball all day. And not only did she not yell at me for that or get upset about that, but she even suggested me pulling out the second TV that I had from my old place and setting it up in the living room so I had two of them going all at once.
Did you have a double going?
I had the two TVs. I had the 80-inch, the 47-inch, and the computer all going. And she was cool with that. She suggested it.
Wow.
See, I could run three or four down in the basement. But honestly, they do a really nice job now with staggering the times so that they're not really all ending at the same time. So I really just ran two, and
I didn't have the TVs out, but I did have the pocket rocket out. Thank you. Are we on the air? Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2. Springtime. Hello. Anyway, 855-212-4227. Always an exciting time of the year for the show. I've noticed that when it's NCAA basketball time and there's a plethora of games on the TV, that the fans, it would appear to me, Carver High, dive off of the show. I've noticed a nakedness tonight to the show. I'm not sensing much reaction from the fans post-game here after all those great games.
Yeah, they really need to get involved.
You think that they would be, you know, maybe hitting a cold beer and hitting a little hookah and then calling in and talking about their favorite team?
You would think it was a long day of basketball. They should be ready to go.
You know, tomorrow there's all day action.
16 more tomorrow.
You'd think there'd be some fans that would want to discuss the betting nature of those games.
And now we have the slate for Saturday all lined up as well.
What do you got, Carver?
Saturday, early they give you two games by themselves, two standalone
games. Is that right?
So it starts at 12:10 East. LSU and Maryland starts things off. So if that game's bad, you got nowhere else to go.
And that's Saturday. I think LSU will beat them.
And then at 2:40, you have the next standalone game, which is going to be that Kentucky-Wofford game. You're going to put that by itself.
There's no way I believe they can actually knock off that blue blood.
And then at night it gets fun because this is when you get to a bunch of games going on at once.
Right.
5:15, Michigan and Florida. 6:10, Florida State, Murray State.
Whoa.
7:10, Gonzaga and Baylor.
Whoa.
7:45, Michigan State and Minnesota.
Whoa.
8:40, Purdue and Villanova.
Whoa.
And the final game of the night, which I think is going to be a good one. 9:40 p.m. Eastern, Kansas and Auburn. Final game of the night.
So, is there more that will be added to this, or is that the
that's the eight games for Saturday?
Saturday, those are the eight games.
Right.
So that's it. Those are set in stone.
There's your times and everything set for Saturday. Plan your day.
And what am I doing all day? Going to a quadruple header. I guess I won't get a signal at the gym I'm going to be at all day.
Well, I'm going to have to catch. I won't catch those two early games.
I might have to sit out in a car.
I'll be at the Islander Flyer game for the early games, but I'll watch all these night games.
Road trip.
I'm going to get to watch all these night games now at the bar in Philadelphia. So
all right, so Carver High, let's announce the latest adventures of Carver High. He's off gallivanting again with the aisle seat podcast throng. They're hitting the streets to go to South Philly to have a little pasta.
Little Broad Street we're hitting on Saturday morning.
Woo!
Going to be at the Field House at 10 a.m.
Woo!
Then head over to the Wells Fargo for the 1 o'clock puck drop. And then, with this great night schedule of NCAA basketball, I'm staying in the hotel across the street from the bar that we're going to be meeting at. So I can just put Nicole and Olivia to bed later, and I can watch the rest of these NCAA games
back door.
Right at the Field House.
So I'm watching Colbert on now after the games, and I got to tell you, the more I see him on TV, the more I miss Letterman. I saw Letterman was on with Ellen DeGeneres in Lipstick City, and he was very funny on that show. He had a lot of great one-liners on that one, too. I miss that guy. I've said that repeatedly on the show over the years. I just wanted to say earlier when I was in the kitchen having my dinner, because that's the only place I eat, Mafia, I had a giant potato chunk fly through my mouth and go down the wrong pipe. Have you ever had something go down the wrong pipe and get wedged in there like a...
Not usually food. Usually it's a drink, like when you're drinking as you're breathing in.
You have that.
I've had that happen for sure. Not fun.
So I have something stuck in my throat right now, in my windpipe, and I'm, I don't know how I should say this, dying here on the air. What do you think happens first, me dying on the air or Bruce Pearl dying coaching? We've brought his name up several times this week in terms of over-unders on coaching deaths.
He looked thrilled at the end of that Auburn game today.
Was he flipping out?
Yeah, he wasn't too happy with the way things were transpiring.
Do you think by the end of the weekend he will be unable to speak because his voice will be gone, because he'll be screaming so much and talking so much? Is there anyone that does more talking or interviews or yelling than him?
Very few.
He's my favorite coach now.
He's at the top?
Oh, yeah. He's way ahead of the pack in terms of the most animated coach to watch in college basketball. And then the other one, did you see this guy Izzo meltdown on this kid today?
He gave that kid the business.
So what happened to the kid? What did he do wrong, and did he ever play in the game again?
He was lazy getting back on defense, I think he said, and there were some other things that he didn't mention, but he mentioned that specifically. But not only did he like get in on the kid and have to be have one of his upperclassmen like pull him aside and be like, listen, let me talk to him. But after the game, too, is that I'm not going to apologize. I have no problem that I was screaming at the kid. He was an idiot. He's got to learn. And the kid was like, I've gotten way worse in practice. That's nothing.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he's like, I'm used to it. I've gotten screamed at a lot more in practice than that.
I like how in the NCAA tournament, they have the you know, the post-game press conferences. You know what I mean? Where, like in the NHL and NBA, where after the game, they make them go up and do the press conference. No questions asked, right? Like, they force them to do it. There's none of this no stuff, you know, where the athletes don't want to do the interview. Or the coach doesn't want to do the interview. They make them go do these interviews, right? Have you ever seen that in, like, hockey and NBA? They make them do it?
Right.
I think it's better that way. I think it should be mandatory. I believe that in sports. Because, you know, nowadays, am I wrong? The athletes and coaches and teams don't want anything to do with the media. They hate them.
They want zero to do with it.
They want nothing to do with it. They hate them. Do you believe that it should be absolutely, unequivocally mandatory that they do interviews?
Yes.
I believe the head coach, not the assistants, the head coach and the top players in the game should be forced to do a presser after the game for 10 minutes, at least 15 minutes, so that the media can get their job done. Is that fair?
Yeah, after the game, absolutely, they should do that. And with the tournament, it's usually pretty good. They, you know, they sit up at there.
They do a great job
and they do all that.
This is the greatest.
The in-game stuff is stupid. They give you nothing. It doesn't matter. Right. They're not going to tell you anything. If they did away with the stupid in-game interviews with the coach, I would have no problem with it.
All right, Jim in San Diego on the Fan. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Pharrell. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, listen, I wanted to talk about Buffalo for a minute, if you didn't mind.
Sure.
I was dumbing around, and believe me, I'm dumb, but I noticed that it looked like their regular season, they were 31-3, and then they won their championship or whatever.
Who's that? So, Buffalo?
Buffalo, yeah.
Right.
But now they're in the tournament. So I'm wondering what you think about them. Because, I mean, that's pretty impressive, 31-3, and you know, for a season.
Well, I think they're a really good basketball team. But, I mean, there's a lot of teams, you know, that like Houston had that kind of a record and everything. And then people, you know, they still don't get that respect. That they're, you know, legit. And, you know, the same thing with, like, New Mexico State and all the rest. Buffalo, I don't think they get the respect that they deserve based on the conference they play in and the schedule they play. So, same thing with Irvine, 30-5. They're a 13 seed, but they're a really good team that gets no respect. And there's other ones as well. I mean, Buffalo 31-3. I think, you know, the most respect they're getting is that they're a 6 seed. I don't think Utah State gets any respect. I don't think Houston's a 3 seed. So I think their respect is right there with the 3 chip. And then, you know, that's about it. Vitek's a four at 24-8. I have a, you know, frankly, I have a hard time believing that they're a four seed, to be honest with you, Carver High.
I wouldn't be shocked if they lost tomorrow night to St. Louis.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either. I think giving them 10.5 is crazy. Look, I think Buffalo will beat Arizona State, but I think what's the number, like 4.5? I think I like ASU with that number on the spread side.
Yeah, I think that Buffalo is going to handle them easily.
The Buffalo's going to handle them easily, right?
I just want to get some good games tomorrow. I want to see a couple upsets. I want to see some games go down to the last, you know, minute. I just want more than we had today. That's what I want tomorrow.
You want better games.
I want a lot more.
All right.
We got teased in the afternoon a little bit, and then it never followed through at night. You know, that Maryland-Belmont game was good, and the Auburn-New Mexico State, you got teased a little bit, but you didn't quite get what you really were looking for today.
Right. I'm just looking at all my bets today. I got 18 bets right and 13 bets wrong. Is that bad? 18 right, 13 wrong. It's very hard hitting these games, right, and bets, money lines and spreads. Not a bad first day. I can live with it tomorrow, bigger and brighter. I'm thinking big tomorrow. All day long, I'm hitting games. You can get all my snacks at PharrellandaBench.com. Don't forget, Pharrell and a Bet's a new episode, 178 tomorrow on iTunes and WestwoodOnePodcast.com. Check it out, my half-hour sports betting podcast. You'll dig it. Hide the money from your wife.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.